Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 16. "And then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse." Humanity hasn't changed. "The first said, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray you to have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them and I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come." He didn't go any further on that one. He just said, I can't come. "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house..." Now I want you to read this very carefully. God has emotions. "The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." I'd like to give this message the title, How to Save America. America can be saved. How to save America. It's all right here in Luke chapter 14. In what I read and what I did not take time to read. As I look at this portion of God's word, let me be utter simplistic today. There was a great supper. A great supper. And there is no greater supper on the face of the earth than what you call the full gospel, Pentecost, charismatic, whatever you want to call it. Salvation, healing, Holy Ghost, and the hope that our Lord is coming soon. A gospel that will give you peace in the midnight hours. A gospel that will heal your broken heart. A gospel that cares when everyone else has walked out. A gospel that lets you know that Jesus is not only your Savior, but He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm so glad that we're not advertising wares off an empty wagon today, but that God's warehouse is full. And you may have come into this auditorium, everything's great, but if you're not born again, you still need Jesus. You may have come into this house like so many have over this period of time, and everything in your life has gone sour. Everything seemed to walk out that you depended upon. But as we found out after the tornado, when all you have is God, you find out that God is all you need. And I tell you today, there's hope in Jesus. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for this great supper of praise and worship unto God. Being able to call upon the name of the Lord. Thank God for Jesus, the Son of the living God. The Good Samaritan, the Savior, the sin forgiver. And thank God for the blessed Holy Spirit of God. We can't explain it. We just enjoy this wonderful, wonderful indwelling and refreshing of God from heaven. A great supper. You'd think that anyone that had such a great supper would have no problem in folks attending that great supper. In fact, Jesus didn't even charge for the ticket. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Salvation is free, but it costs Jesus everything. It costs God everything. Well, there was a great supper, and then there was a great invitation. And that's called getting out the word of God. And they went out everywhere you find people. And they invited people to come. And you would have just known that you were going to have to build a bigger restaurant or a bigger banquet hall, or that you just couldn't hold the volume of people coming at that simple invitation to such a wonderful, wonderful occasion. But the Bible said they all began to make excuses. They all began to make excuses. No reason, excuses. And the excuses are clearly set forth. One bought a piece of ground. Now, some people are rich enough to do that, but most people aren't. You just send your money somewhere and say, I'll just buy that advertisement on television. And then you get to thinking about it and think, well, I better go out and see what I've bought. And then another one got in the cattle business. And he had his set of problems. And the other, he got married and he just didn't go any further with that. He said, I just can't come. And as you look realistically at this, no matter what business you're in, no matter what the color of your skin, no matter what your social status may be, if you're not starting off your business life, your married life, your whatever life with Jesus, you're in a world of hurt before you get started. And so much of staff work and church work and religious work is trying to help marriages and homes that should have never gotten together. And that's why we shout it from the housetops. It's better to be lonely. You can sleep that off. And I say to young people, and I know there's a little humor with this, but I say to single young people, for God's sake, for your sake, girls, don't buy that line of hot air. I love you, honey. And then when it's all over, he walks out and she faces the rest of her life. Somehow she even forgot the echo of I love you. Be smart. Cry out every day for the will of God in your life. Cry out every day for God's right companion for your life. It's not that there's not life after a mistake, but dear God, the time you waste. Costs more than $49.50 to get a divorce. It's up to $499, I noticed on someone's signpost the other day. But $499 is only the beginning. Get it right the first time. Great excuses. They came in and they said, I just can't come. You know, I'm saying this honestly. Maybe I'm on a different planet. I'm having to reexamine. Where am I coming from? Every church in America ought to be jammed to capacity during these days. Every evangelical church in America, there ought to be standing room only as people come praying for our nation. Well, there was a great anger. They came back and said, we don't know how to tell you, but we know it's a great supper and we know it's a great invitation, but nobody wants to come, or very few want to come. I know the cross was a lonely ordeal. I know you went through so much. I know they put stripes on your back. They put a crown of thorns on your head. And I know that everyone, for all practical purposes, you felt and you were forsaken. But I'm sorry, they just don't seem to understand that. And everyone seems to feel like they can run their own life and they can do their own thing. The Bible said that there was anger. There was anger. He was angry. You said, teach us faith. I'm talking to you about faith right now. This too is revival. Being angry, it said in verse 21. Being angry. Does God ever get upset? Oh, yes. You don't want to get him ticked off. I'll tell you, the grace of God is so deep, so profound, there is no way these lips of clay could ever tell you how great the grace of God is. In fact, it's so great that none of us would make it without the grace of God. Every one of us in this room today, none of us merit what God has done for us. It's amazing grace right across the board with all of us. Whether you've been a great sinner or, you know, didn't do too much, one sin will take you out. And there was great anger, great anger. And the word of God used that very word, being angry. He said to his servant, and there we find a great insight on who should be in church. We still don't have this thing figured out. We started figuring it out back in the 1970s when we had worked for about 5 years to take a post office building, and with my hands I did things that I was not trained as a skilled person to do. But you start it and I can finish it, and you mess it up and I can clean it up, and I did what I could do. And we put in countless hours and days and weeks to get a little chapel carved out of that post office building. And I'll never forget the Sunday that any preacher would understand what I'm saying. The song leader didn't show up. I led the singing. And I preached, but it felt like I was spitting cotton. I don't know what I said. It just seemed like everything you said just fell right at your feet. No one answered the altar call. Half the teachers didn't show up that Sunday. It was just one of those Sundays when if you had quit in you, I mean, it would manifest on that Sunday. And I'll never forget going to my study, that little study. And I fell on my face before God and I said, God, I'll do anything that's right and I'll do anything that works to reach and to win souls for Jesus. Whatever we're doing, it's not enough. All of my work, all of my labor, we had about 100 people, maybe 105 or 10. God loved every one of them. It's not the number. It's doing what God called you to do. But I said, God, something's got to change. And it was just a matter of days until we had the opportunity to enter what we now know as the Jesus Generation Revival. And some young people came and said, we want to have services and we don't have a place to go. And where we've been conducting services, they said, you're running off our good tithe people. They didn't look, today you wouldn't have even noticed them. They looked a little different then, but today you'd not even notice. And I said, almost said no, and God said anything that's right and anything that works. And I know the voice of God when God deals with me on that level. And I said, okay. I said, we'll try it for a week. I thought, what can we lose? And in 1 week's period of time, that little chapel began to fill up. Could only hold about 200 people, 220 or 30, jam-packed. But I'm telling you, they started coming. They were sitting on the platform. They were sitting on the floor. And the old guard got upset. They said, those hippies are getting our good seats. I said, get here early then. When you see people... lives changed and people coming to Jesus, man, you'd do anything. To see people touched, to see people helped, to see changes come. There was a junior high principal's son who had been on drugs for 2 or 3 years. I mean, this man was a basket case. He just wandered around kind of staring into space. God saved him, gave him his mind back, got him off of drugs. And now the father and the mother, who are both educators, started calling and saying, we don't understand our son. What are you doing to him over there? The boy's coming home at night. He's not doing drugs anymore. They're not having to get him out of jail. But they said, we don't understand our son. And they were good denominational people. You know, 2 and 2 to me would make 4 very quickly. And I think of others that God, case after case, God would save them and change their life and turn their lives around. One of them came by the other day. He's living in Hawaii and retired from the computer world. I thought, something's missing here, Lord. I said, send your tithe back, son. He said, God changed my life during those days. He said, God gave me my mind back. And God turned his life around. So there's an insight here on who should be in church. You know, he said, go out to the poor. Go out to the maimed, the lame, the blind. People that when you love them, there's nothing they can do for you in return. Now, I know that God loves the up and outer just like he loves the down and outer, but we made the decision that we would start loving every color of skin, and our church became brown, black, white, red, whatever. And from that moment on, we became literally an international church. And it was very interesting during those days, because when we opened our doors, God began to bless us in a supernatural way. And then, of course, it was not many years until God moved us downtown, and then God's been good to this church. So they came back and they said, we've given the invitation, but all of these excuses, and He's angry, and he said, go out into the streets and the lanes and the highways and the hedges. We've heard that before. I've heard that before. Everybody win one. It still works. One waitress at a time. One salesperson at a time. One neighbor at a time. One friend at a time. One ex-socialite at a time. Just go out and start winning people. People who initially cannot help you are the church. But we found out that when you get interested in what God wants you to be interested in, God pays your bills. You can't witness to somebody with dollar signs in your eyes because you don't know who you're witnessing to. It may be the next Apostle Paul. It may be another Philip. It may be another Peter or an Andrew or whoever. You never know who you're witnessing to. It might be a world shaker and someone who can literally change the world in which we live. Now, as we look at this, there was a great commission. And we still have the greatest mandate on the face of God's earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm stirred up today. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me ask you a stunning question that the Spirit of God asked me in preparation for this message. Do you really believe that every member of your family that does not know Jesus Christ is going to hell? Sweet little Aunt Tilda, wonderful Uncle so-and-so, my cousins, well, we love them so much and they love us. No, you don't love them like you should. You would have won them to Jesus. Folks, the world's on fire. Something's burning inside of me today. Something's burning inside. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you really believe that every person you work with in your factory, office, shop, or job is going to hell if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I was in a memorial service the other day, and one of the staff, it was the most beautiful verbiage you ever heard in your life, but it's just like everybody from the time of birth, we're all God's children. And I mean, there was no differentiation that you must be born again. Now, it came later on in that service, but if I'd listened to the opening comment, it doesn't make any difference. We're all just God. From the womb, we're all just God's children. And everything's going. No, everything's not going to be all right. If that's the case, Jesus wasted his blood. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary in vain. Do you really believe that everybody in your neighborhood that does not know Jesus Christ is going to hell? I want you to be shocked. I want me to be shocked. Do we really believe that our precious little sweet families are going to hell if they don't know Jesus? Folks, that's what the Word of God teaches. I know this kind of preaching is not popular today, but someone's got to speak it. Somebody told you the truth, and somebody told you the truth, and somebody told you the truth, and somebody told all of us the truth, and that's why we're in the kingdom of God today. Man, I believe in the love of God. I believe in the grace of God. I believe in the faith and the word. And I believe in everything this book preaches. But there has got to come a return of red hot Holy Ghost evangelism. Our blood has got to boil with the conviction that people in our life are going to hell if we do not tell them about Jesus. I can't be responsible for everyone. But it's like the one that threw the little starfish back in the ocean. They said, you're wasting your time. He said, not for that one. It was not a waste of time. Go into all the world. In fact, he said, go out quickly. Why do you need more television stations? Why do we need to get the word of God? We must work while it is yet day. While the door of opportunity is open. And I'll be very frank with you. One of the things that really factored in my decision, for my part of the decision on this property, I said, God, we don't have another 3 years to build an auditorium. I said, Lord, we need a place where we can bring fish. Win them where you are, but we need a place where people can come to Jesus. And I know there's a lot to do, but we got a head start on that one. And as I looked at this, the Great Commission, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Do you believe that? You know what we're dealing with in this war? Demonic. We are dealing with the most demonic spirit of war that this nation has ever dealt with. It's demonic. And I think we're dealing with those whose conscience is seared over with a hot iron. Not all, but some. And now we say there's legal ways we can... We're going to hurt people if we... I don't think you're on this planet, honey. 5,000 have already been hurt. They're gone. They're history. This is a war we've got to win. This is a war we must win. It's the most just war we've ever been in since World War II. Is there not a cause? There is a cause. So there was a great commission. Go to the streets, the lanes, the highways, the hedges. And what he had in mind was that everybody attends the great party. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. The banquet table spread for all of those who are blood washed and blood bought. No negotiating at that table. No sin in that city. The Lamb is the light. No sickness. No disease, no heartache, no heartbreak, no more broken lives and homes and minds. That great, great supper time. As I looked at that, for some reason I was going through some things that I had and I found the notes of when we were in Israel last. God speaks to me in Israel, but in the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem. I wrote this down, or maybe I think I had someone write it for me. Forgetfulness leads to exile, while remembrance is the secret of redemption. You know what we're remembering here today? We're remembering our roots. We wouldn't have been downtown, we wouldn't be here, if this church had not reached out to the down and out, to the lost, to the needy, to those whose lives have been ravaged by drugs. I know that many people today, they say, we just want the clean ones. We just want the rich ones. We just want, you know, we want the social thing. That's good. I respect that. A soul is a soul wherever you find a soul. But somehow we've got to recatch the vision in our cities that there are people all around us that do not know Jesus. They're on their way to hell. They're not just in jails. They're not just in bars. They're not just in strip clubs. They live in your neighborhood. They live on your street. They're related to your family. They're in your family. We work with them. We go to school with them. As I went further, I noticed something that Hitler said. He said race. They said race and anti-Semitism lay at the core of Nazism. Hitler taught Germany that they were the master race and all others must die. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Some of you were not born when all this was taking place. I was just barely here for part of it. But it's exactly what Hitler said. Hitler said, we of Germany, we're the master race and everyone else deserves to die. We are the superior ones. If you don't have blonde hair and blue eyes, you need to die. God help us. And Hitler could have pulled it off except for the grace of God. And then there was a German pastor, Pastor Martin Niemöller. He lived from 1892 to 1984, German Protestant pastor. He said they came for the communists, but I did not object because I was not a communist. They came and took away the socialists, but I did not object because I was not a socialist. They came for the labor leaders, but I didn't object. I wasn't a labor leader. They came for the Jews, but I did not object because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to object. Sober thinking, isn't it? You know, a lot of people think we can just hide and close our eyes and we're the United States of America. Honey, we are what we are by the grace of God, and we'll stay where we are by the grace of God as we cooperate with God's grace in our life. As I looked at those, how to save America? How do we save America? That's our commission, you know. It's not the great suggestion, it's the great commission. Remember the rowboat. You remember the rowboat we saw from Denmark? Denmark fishermen rowed to safety over 7,000 Jews during World War II. They'd put them on the bottom of the rowboat, put fish in nets over them. No one pays any attention to a fisherman. He's out catching fish to make a living or to feed his family. And Denmark, the fishermen of Denmark, in rowboats with their own hands and two oars, saved over 7,000 Jews from the gas chambers and from the horrors that were going on at that time. In fact, there was a theme among them at that time: everyone save one. That was Denmark's thinking concerning the Jews. Well, it hasn't changed today. Oh, God, help us to have that fisherman's mentality. Help us to realize that every member of our family who does not know Jesus is going to spend eternity. No more family reunions, honey. No more lovely, sweet, soft, wonderful times. Every person that you work with, every neighbor on your street, everyone you go to school with, they'll spend eternity not with you, not with the Lord Jesus Christ. As I looked at this, something began to stir in my heart. You know, America, we're already over New York. I know it's somber today, but somebody's got to wake somebody up. We were in a restaurant, was it last night or night before? And I said, Joy, it's like nothing ever happened. And now the peaceniks are coming out of the woodwork, and we need to settle this thing. Someone's liable to get hurt. That's what it's all about, you understand. Thank God somebody woke us up. We've been on a slide for a long time. You that travel know the story. I've been concerned for a long time about security in airports. You feel like you would need to interrogate them instead of them interrogating you. Airports have not been safe for a long time. And somehow it's dawning on me. It's cool. Everything goes on. All things continue as they were. Man, what do you mean New York? I don't live in New York. Pastor friend of mine was supposed to have gone to Ground Zero this week. I haven't had a chance to call him, and I imagine he's too busy to receive a call right now. But he said, in New York, if you have on a chaplain's helmet, the policeman, the fireman, anyone with any responsibility will stop you and say, please pray for us. And most of them say, pray for us right now. I know they say, well, people are handling it pretty well. No, they're still in a state of shock. And we're in another state of shock. We don't even know it happened because it didn't happen in the Metroplex. Some of you might have had a distant relative or a relative, but I haven't heard about it. If it was, my heart goes out. But I mean, it doesn't affect me because I haven't lost any family members there. I didn't have any close personal friends. Now, Pastor, where in the world are you going? Where's this man that always encourages us and speaks faith and courage and hope into our heart? I'm the same I've always been. But I realize this one thing. You don't get up to 30,000 feet in those jetliners and shut the engines down. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. The power that got you there is the power that's going to keep you there. And what touches me is I've looked into the faces of veterans that have served their time, who had said, if I had the strength and if I was just young enough, I'd go back in a moment if I could for my nation, for the United States of America. Well, Pastor, you've led us down a trail. Where are we going? I don't know where we're going. I know where I'm going. And I believe I know where this church is going because my faith is on the line. People, we've got to impact our communities. We've got to impact our cities. I mean, it's over. Everybody, it takes more than flying a flag on your antenna. It Takes more than a little decal on your back window. I have one too. Takes more than flying a flag at your home. We need Holy Ghost revival. And you can't make it happen. Can't make it happen, but God can. And I believe it's time that we use every media that God's placed within our hands, be it radio, television, personal witnessing. How do we save America? By a $200 billion contract? I'm happy about that. We prayed for that. Many of our people prayed much because it's good for the whole community, but that doesn't save us spiritually. How many understand what I'm saying? I thank God for the contract. We still haven't caught on. We're going to go party about it. We're going to the bars. We're going to the clubs. We're going to celebrate. You missed the whole point. We ought to be singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. My father-in-law's church, 1.2 miles from here when he was alive for so many years. We had a number of people that worked out at Lockheed. And brother, when there was a layoff, it hit the whole church. I mean, it left a hole like an 18-wheeler coming through. But there's something more than money. I'm saying, oh, God, revive us again. God, revive me again. Oh, Father, let the fire of God burn within me. Let the fire of God burn within me. Nothing really makes any difference except more of God, more of God, more of God, and telling other people that Christ is the answer, that Jesus is the answer. So I'm not leaving you on a limb. There's something every one of us can do. We can be like the Denmark fishermen. We'll save them one at a time. We'll win them one at a time, thank God for wholesaling. But it still comes back to everyone win one. Everyone be a witness. You can't make them. You can't hit them in the head with the Bible. But I tell you, if you'll just pray and you'll commit your life to God before you leave your home, God will show you. You know what I'm talking about. I've tried to witness to people. It's like running into a concrete wall. And then I'm sitting there minding my own business and someone's saying, what are you reading there? The Bible? Sure looks well. Do you read that? Oh, yeah. I read this book. Do you really believe it? Oh, yeah. Stake my life on it. And before long, they're asking me, what must I do to be saved? It still happens. It still happens. And so as you drive home, it's just like America said, man, yeah, we had something on 9/11, but it's far away. It's in New York. Wake up. You know what the Spirit of God is saying here today? Everybody can win one. You can win one. You can win one. And you can win one. And you can win one. There's somebody that you can win. And if everybody here today won one, look, we can see the population of heaven begin to swell. You know, as I looked at Israel, no one knows like Israel that if you don't do something, you go back into the gas chambers or servitude or whatever. What is my message today? If God be for us, who can be against us? How are we going to save America? We can't build enough planes to save America. We can't drop enough bombs to save America. You know what would change all of them? Jesus. Remember, we're in a mess today because a husband and wife said, I don't think God knows what he's talking about. I think we'll do it our way. Abe, I tell you what, I mean, I know society was different then, but can you imagine? Abe, just take the bondwoman, it's the only way we're going to get a child. And the flesh will get you in trouble every time. You start in the flesh, you'll finish in the flesh. You start in the spirit, we'll finish in the spirit. I tell you, I've tasted it both ways. I've done it my way, even in the ministry. I've done it my way. I am tired years ago of it being my way. I want it to be God's way. I want to see Calvary Cathedral God's way. I want to see you God's way. I want to see the fire of God on you God's way. I want to see church growth God's way. It's still the gospel, and you still have to be born again. And there's still more than just building a beautiful church or just getting several thousand people together. You still must be born again. So what's it all about? I may have only a rowboat. I may not have an outboard. I may just have a rowboat. But I have two oars and I have two arms. And I can save one at a time. And I can go out again and save one at a time. Oh, what's it all about? We can do it. You can do it. We can do it. I'm not just interested in building a church. I want to build the kingdom of God. When I get to heaven, I'm not interested in just X number of people. I want to see people coming to Jesus. I want to meet some people up there that say, I'm here because of the youth group, or I'm here because of the singles, or I'm here because of the community outreach of Stitches, or I'm here because of Calvary Academy, or maybe they walk the aisle on Sunday. I'm here because I found Jesus through something that said Calvary Cathedral International. You know, when somebody's waiting on you, get you some tracks. When somebody's waiting on you, you're not just interested whether they did a lousy job or a good job. Tip them whether they did a good job or a lousy job, and leave a witness. Leave a witness. Talk to them about Jesus. I remember a Baptist preacher. I was in a convention one time. He said, this girl, she was the worst waitress I ever had in my life. She sloshed the coffee. She didn't get the order right. She spilled something on my suit. It just, everything went downhill. But he left her, I think, a $10 tip, which was very, very, very generous. And she ran to the cash register. She said, sir, you left this on the table by mistake. He said, no, it was no mistake. I did it on purpose. But sir, I didn't serve you well at all. He said, no, you really didn't. But that's not what the tip's all about. The tip is to tell you God loves you, that Jesus loves you. And she broke down and began to weep. She said, my husband left me. I have children at home. I have debts to pay. My life is in shambles. And he was able to win her to Jesus in that restaurant. Oh, God, stir, God, stir, God, stir, God, stir. It's not whether they got my beans right or whether they served me perfectly. Oh, God, send us out to serve others, to love others, to help others. It's not just about me, 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 my. It's about us. It's about the kingdom of God, us going out into the harvest. Hilton Sutton said something years ago. He said, harvest is the bottom line. Harvest is the bottom line. Harvest is the bottom line. We're going to win somebody. We're going to win somebody. We're going to win several somebodies. We're going to win them to Jesus. We're going to witness. Witness we must, and win if we can. But if you witness enough, you will win. You'll close a deal if you keep on selling. You'll close a deal if you keep on selling. And you know, the bottom line is something I've heard people say, well, that's just works. He said, why do you want us to go out quickly and go into the highways and the hedges? He said, that my house may be filled. God cares. God cares.